Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for WEEI Football Sunday with Andy Gresh, Christian Arcand, and Mike Cadlick. Now, WEEI Football Sunday.
What? Why are we here? Does anybody know? Anybody have an idea? Isn't there a game Thursday?
It's football Sunday.
It is football.
It's football Sunday.
It's Patriot Sunday. It's football Sunday.
It is football Sunday. That's right. Well, it was a hell of a day of football yesterday down at Gillette. It's Gresh and Arcand and Cadlick here with you. We will be joined by some of our usuals. Nothing for Coach Wiggins to preview. Foyer's got a basketball game.
How will we
game.
Know the difference?
I mean, well, that is true. You're exactly right.
They could don't just, have to establish the run today?
They don't. or protect the quarterback. We can throw that in there as well. But, no, we do have a lot of games to preview. We can start to think maybe in some of the bigger picture discussions that the Patriots need to have. Of course, they were winners in Pittsburgh, 21-18. We will continue to unpack that game because I know on Friday, a lot of the shows here at EEI were very much concentrated around Army-Navy. We had America's broadcast down at the Harp, which was a ton of fun. But since it is Football Sunday, let's start with the Football Saturday. They just had at Gillette Stadium, and holy cow, Army-Navy was something. Cadlick, I know you were there a bunch.
Yeah.
Just seeing it on TV and looking at the pomp and circumstance of everything, and it started like an hour before the game. I think people kind of forget that in terms of everything that goes around Army-Navy, but what an experience it was at Gillette yesterday.
Yeah, it was insane. It was really cool. It was like a, you know, it felt like a real college football game experience, but it was so much more with the, like you said, the pomp and circumstance around Army-Navy. It wasn't even an hour before. It was more like 3 or 4 hours before, because College Game Day was there from ESPN. You had McAfee and Herb Street and, you know, their crew. Kraft and Belichick joined them. Ken and Curtis were down at the Harp as well on Saturday, so we broadcasted. I went on there a few times.
Kraft and Belichick joined them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Or it was just you, a bunch of hits.
No, just
got
me
it.
With a bunch of
you
hits.
You did, yeah. Hello, Roberts here.
It was Cadlick with the 1930s Navy helmet.
Yeah, I put the Navy helmet. Oh, we got to get to
Bill
that.
And put it on. But no, it was awesome. The march on started at noontime, so, you know, all the companies from Army and Navy went on the field together. They marched on, and then obviously, I mean, the game itself was insane, too. A classic Army-Navy battle goes down to the very end, down in the end zone, down in the red zone, and Army pulls it out. But, I mean, it did. It felt, you know, the student sections were there, their bands playing. Like, it felt so much more like, obviously, it was. It was a college football experience, not just, you know, a 3-10 Patriots game. So it was super cool to see an important game played at Gillette Stadium for what felt like the first time in a while.
And Arcand, a bad beat mixed in on top of it. If you had 27.5 in the under,
you didn't like that safety, boy.
You got hosed by the safety.
I had under 28.5. I got it early in the day.
Okay. No kidding.
And so I still had 28. Yeah,
I think it closed at 28. It was 27.5 at one point. And, you know, I'm a little disappointed that the CBS crew didn't sort of make a little more light of that. I guess Al Michaels
would have.
That's exactly right, Arcand. I guess Gary Danielson
wasn't
heard
him
on the
groaning
ball
in the background.
Well, it seems like they're allowed to do that now. They're kind of each station is letting them sort of, you know, plug in the gambling stuff.
Do you hear Michaels when the Patriots hit the over?
Mm-hmm. No, I
missed within
that.
Within a millisecond, he's like, and there's the over.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even hear that. That's awesome.
I forget who hit it. I think it was the
it was against the Steelers. It was when the Steelers scored the touchdowns.
Yeah.
It was 21-7.
Yeah.
And they so that got all screwed up
on it, man.
And it's amazing because
yeah, that's the over.
Like Army could have chosen to just sort of take like three steps back and just throw the ball as high as they wanted to.
Right.
Or, you know, just try to sail that thing up as high as they can and let it land or whatever. Nope. Instead, they get the safety. And you could see in the stands, what I loved was you could see some of the people who had 27.5 in the under because you saw the visceral reaction from a lot of people. But that might end up being the worst beat of the weekend, although we will go through the games and the point spreads of today's game. Arkham, what did you make of Bill Belichick putting on that 1931 helmet? And he looked like one of those old... If you remember the toy, it was called Mistletoe. It was a kicker where you pressed on their head and the leg would kick the ball or whatever. That's what he looked like. He looked like he should have pressed him on the head and his leg would have gone up and he would have kicked the ball.
He did look like an old toy, that's for sure. You remember... you put like a quarter in and turn the crank and it would pop out one of those little plastic helmets.
Yes!
That's what it looked like he was wearing.
The old quarter gumball machines.
Exactly.
They had the little helmets in there. That's pretty
good.
Which
you don't see those anymore. Back in my day, you saw those on every corner. But that's what it looked like. And I thought he was great on that show. I thought he was terrific. He was engaging. He had good stories. That thing with him and Corso. I mean, the Grinch's heart grew three sizes that day, I thought. It was a nice appearance by him. And I thought that stuff with Kraft was interesting, too. The way that McAfee sort of cornered Kraft on that whole topic and how Kraft basically just ignored it and shook his hand.
he just nodded his head and was like, I'm not going to say a word.
But it was interesting. There was sort of a lot kind of hanging in the air right there.
You know, there was the whole Belichick-Lee Corso interaction. I know it goes back to their dad and all that kind of stuff. But when it was Al Michaels in the Amazon game against the Steelers, and it was like, well, we don't know what Belichick could do. He could do this. He could do that. Hell, he could go into TV. And that's the one where I think a lot of people, like if you were watching it, like I was watching it with my wife, and it's like, wait, is that what could that really happen? And it was like, oh, yeah, Bill could go do TV, and I'm sure somebody would hire him in 30 seconds to go and do it. But it doesn't feel like him, yet he sits on the set and does a little bit of this stuff on game day and looks completely natural, and everybody is staring at him. It is amazing. Like, you've got guys on that set that are like Heisman winners and stuff, and yet he sat down, and it was like everybody sat up straight.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it was as if they were sitting in a meeting waiting for Bill to yell at them.
Well, and I think it's because of, you know, the way he acts with the media on a day-to-day basis. He doesn't give much. He doesn't, you know, talk a lot about what's actually going on, and he kind of just gives his, you know, nothing answers all the time. So then when he does finally open up, I mean, remember that top 100 players of the NFL history?
He won an Emmy. He won an Emmy for that.
Right. And so during that, he opens up, and he's great, and, you know, people gravitate towards it and like to see it. So I think when he does these, you know, spot on spot things, like everybody loves it because he sort of, you know, he takes off the mask a little bit. So it's
who else could tell you about Curly Lambeau more than Bill Belichick? I mean, really, it would be that and the old in your town, that guy's like 90 who just sits at the corner of the bar, could be like, I could tell you about Curly Lambeau. Come here, kid.
And listen, there's still a market for that. You know what I mean? Like old football guys, like they eat that stuff up. You wouldn't believe it. And, you know, in Massachusetts, you wouldn't think, but like in Texas, in Florida, and these places where football is just all anybody ever thinks and talks about, a guy like Bill Belichick is going to connect with that audience. So yeah, I think there's certainly a place for him there if that's what he has any inkling of wanting to do after he's done coaching, which we'll see when that is. But
well, I was going to say
there could be a job there for him. No, I don't think he could do it like every single day. He wouldn't be one of those daily talk guys. I think he wouldn't want that, and I don't think he'd be good at it. But he'd be great at this stuff.
Rex Ryan would be out in about 30 seconds to be replaced by Bill on ESPN if they went down that road. And I know that Rex would have some strong things to say about that. Do you pull anything away from either the Kraft or Belichick appearances? Do you view them as just, hey, this was a part of the pomp and circumstance? They were at Gillette. Why wouldn't we come out and be a part of it or whatever? I know nobody just straight up and made any proclamations, but anything that you kind of gleaned or just sort of pulled away from either Mr. Kraft's or Bill Belichick's appearances? on the various shows. CBS Sports Network was there as well. I know there was a photo of Foyer, who'll join us at 11 today. They had Robert Kraft on set as well. So basically those guys were, I don't want to say those guys, I think Robert was doing the tour a little more than Bill was.
Yeah. Bill didn't say much about, you know, the current team, so there wasn't much that he could really, you know, expand on, I guess. They talked to Kraft and they asked him, you know, what's next. And the one thing I thought he said was interesting was, you know, we like to win and we want to get back to winning and we're going to do what we need to do to get our team back to winning. So, and that's when the whole McAfee thing came on and he said,
we know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we know what's going to happen.
We know what you got to do.
I don't envy you. And he
we
didn't
all
say
know
anything.
What you're doing. And it's like, we do. I didn't know that, but okay.
Right. And so I thought that was interesting, too. But besides that, they didn't really, you know, they didn't really get into much. But I thought it was good. Like you said, they sort of just did their, you know, their tour around because this is our place. And I think, too, the win against the Steelers, which I'm sure we'll get to, I think that kind of helped the cause.
Oh, like, you bet your ass.
Because they weren't, you know, they weren't 2-11. They were 3-10. But they're coming off a win and they're, you know, they're off and they just looked good the other night.
Had
so.
They lost, Belichick would not have done game day.
Yes, he would have.
I know it's the Army Navy thing, but boy, oh boy, that one, Mr. Kraft.
I think he cared more about that game than any game the Patriots have played this year.
The second Joe Cardona walked into the locker room, it was in their thing. He goes, Army week. He said it right to him the first thing
they
he said.
They knew right away. Yep. It's funny, Foyer, when Joe Cardona joined us on Friday, Foyer said, make sure you say, you know, go Navy because they got to get the beat Army in there. I did like how the Patriots did the video of the little footballs and then it was pick Army or Navy.
Yeah.
And I forget who it was, but they knew Cardona was coming and they peeked over their shoulder and saw him and then plunked it in the Navy and kind of ran away. Because it felt like guys were sort of needling Cardona in all of that. I would have expected RK Mr. Kraft to make the rounds yesterday, in part because, and someone said this Friday, and it didn't connect with me until I started watching the pregame, this would be the closest thing to a Super Bowl coming to Gillette Stadium, the whole Army-Navy game.
Yeah, probably. You know, just the influx of people, you know, all the hotels sort of getting booked and all that, and, you know, people coming from all over and being in town for this. Yeah, Elon was there.
Was he really?
I heard he was. Well, I didn't see him, but
yeah,
I heard
he was.
Did
he
you
was
see
in
him?
My suite, the great Donald Trump. I mean, I didn't see it. Was DJT there? They said that Trump was going to be there.
No, he was not there.
You know, he didn't make an appearance, but Musk did.
Yeah, Musk was there.
Man.
Did you thank him for making Twitter so much better?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
It's actually X, Arcand.
Right. Excuse me.
What is this new thing on the left side now? Grok?
It's
that
like
they
an
just
AI
put up
thing,
there?
I guess.
Oh, okay.
Grok? What is Grok?
If you go onto your Twitter on the left side, Arcand, look on the left there. It says Grok. I saw that and I was like, what the hell is that? I didn't want to click on it.
Oh, it's like an AI. Ask it stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks.
So it's like their version of Siri?
No, it's their version of, like, ChatGPT.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Or maybe, yeah, I think it's ChatGPT. It might be, like, you might be able to, like, do the pictures and everything, too. But, yeah, it's an AI bot.
Sorry to drive it off the exit ramp there, but I was like, what the hell is
what
a
is Grok?
Like, you wake up on Twitter and there's this new thing. No, I didn't know Elon was there. That's actually kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's, like, a defense contract now with one of the other
we
companies.
Saying, yeah, he was
that's
right
exactly,
by the Army tanks.
No
yeah.
question. He was like...
did he roll in his new truck?
Yeah,
seen those things?
Now, that would have been...
That would
those
be
things, I have seen those.
Those
I don't
things
know what
look
to
so
make.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably great, but they look really stupid.
I know the whole, like, electric cars are supposed to, like, save the environment and all that kind of stuff, but... I don't know. There's just something about sitting in traffic on 93 on a Friday with an electric car, and all of a sudden some pinhead dumps it off an exit ramp and stops everything for an hour. I'm going to be like, do I got to turn this off? Do I got to plug it in? Do I need a 9-volt? What do I do here to keep this thing going? I don't know. I just I wouldn't be able to trust it. So we know the Patriots beat the Steelers 21-18. That was on Thursday night. What was the biggest takeaway of that win, if there even was a big takeaway from the win?
I think it's Bailey Zappi's job for the rest of the season. That's my big takeaway. I don't think there's any way you go back to Mac. I don't think there's any reason to sort of mess around with Cunningham. If Zappi had gone out and had another bad game like he did against the Chargers, then I would have thought, okay, now's when you start experimenting. The season's over regardless, I guess, but there's not really much else to evaluate. I still think there's things to evaluate now with Zappi. That first half was as good a half as Mac has had all year. I still think Mac was better in the Buffalo game overall in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still the peak of quarterback play this year, I think, was Mac in that Buffalo game. But Zappi was just noticeably better. That throw to Hunter Henry was a great throw. I thought his first throw to Schuster was not a good throw, and that Schuster went back and made a play. And I sort of felt bad for Mac when that happened because, you know, Mac's probably sitting there going, well, where the hell is this?
Yeah, do that for me. Right. Yeah.
Well, that was like
going
a hail.
Back and it was reaching like a around
hail.
The
that's
guy.
That's the thing.
And,
you, yeah. When you reach yeah. around the guy, that's almost like the Hail Mary catch that you see in the end zone where the guy makes an unbelievable play yeah. and fall in the heat.
But right. that was just as badly underthrown and into double coverage mm-hmm. as any bad interception Mac threw this year. It just wasn't an interception because Schuster made a play. So I felt a little bit, I feel like people who are taking the victory laps over the Mac people, I think, are a little over their skis here. But I do think that in terms of like the whole Zappy, should Zappy have gotten a shot, you know, Zappy getting cut and all that other stuff, I think that's basically over at this point. I think Zappy's got to be the quarterback for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm curious where you land on that, Cadlick. And it's crazy that in going back and looking at it, you could argue the best 60-minute quarterbacking performance the Patriots got this year was, believe it or not, in the game against Philadelphia in the yeah. opener. After that, I don't think either quarterback has put together. The closest thing might have been Mac in Buffalo, maybe, but that was just more about the fourth quarter sort of comeback than it was anything else.
He's 25 for 30 in the game. Like, he was very sharp in that game. No, and he led a game-winning touchdown
oh, yeah.
drive.
Sure,
so, I mean,
but
know.
It's crazy. There might be one or two games this year where we can say the quarterback played well for 60 minutes, and it's the one thing that it's one of the things, I should say, that has really evaded the Patriots this year. They'll have halves. It'll look
one
completely
drive.
Different or yeah. one drive, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I'm with you, Arcand, on the whole Zappy thing. Like, and again, you know, the first half was great. Three touchdowns. He was, you know, slinging all over the place, finding tight windows. I mean, even the throw to Schuster, I guess, was a, you know, just a Hail Mary jump ball. But I mean, the second half wasn't great. Like, he didn't mm-hmm. play great in the second half. They didn't right. play great. They didn't score any points. And so I agree, though. You got to start him for the rest of the year, and you need to evaluate it and see what you have with him moving forward, because clearly you have something in Bailey Zappe. And I don't know what that is yet, but, you know, it's there, and they gravitated towards him. The players, you know, they played well. Again, Smith-Schuster going to get that ball. Would he have done the same thing for Mac Jones? You would want to think so, but, you know,
I think he was just in Pittsburgh and wanted
yeah,
to do something
right.
in Pittsburgh. I
you
think
can
it was
tell
as simple
that
as that.
He was
yeah.
horny from the
for
very
sure.
beginning to come out and make
he played
plays.
Well.
Yeah.
That was his best game as a Patriot.
Oh, by far.
I wonder if that continues and if he's finally maybe healthy and can turn a little bit of a corner here. He's not going to be the Juju that I was, you know, pumping up all offseason saying that he was going to be the second coming of Jacoby Myers. But he played well. That was a takeaway. But, no, I think you need to start zapping the rest of the season because you might have something moving forward beyond this season. Not a starter, not a franchise quarterback, but a backup quarterback who, you know, understands the system and can come in and sort of, you know, command the room if he has to on a backup basis.
Yeah,
so,
ask Brian Hoyer, a guy
exactly.
like that can have a career here, for
right?
Sure.
And so I think they like what they saw in Zappe. They needed a change, and even if the change wasn't, you know, necessarily a huge, you know, different skillful game as far as like completely beating out what Mac Jones did, they still
right.
played a lot better on offense.
It was all yeah. I mean, for this team, yeah, and I know that folks aren't gonna like, they're just trying to get wins.
Right.
Now I know there's the they really shouldn't be trying to get wins, but
they're never not gonna try in the
exactly
game.
Right. And as soon as Zappe threw the pick, you could see the offensive coaches kind of tighten up a little bit. They
yeah.
started to call the game a little differently, sort of take it out of his hands, and that's the way they're gonna coach it all year. And you mentioned the whole, yeah, you got Jones, you got Zappe, but it was the comment from Robert Kraft yesterday that is starting to really make me think veteran. We will get to all of that. Foyer is going to move up to 11 o'clock. Kern's on
Hooray.
The golf course today, so we'll talk
the
to
the one day
Foyer.
Where he could actually get in my face about Juju Smith-Schuster and he's on the
yeah.
golf course.
He's
How about
the,
that? How about
on
that
the
for
golf
timing?
Course. How about that? Exactly. He'd rather hit him crooked than yell at you. But
he could call in from the tee box.
He could.
No, Come he on. Could, but
the
but,
one week he could do it.
Yeah.
That's right. Now the phone's busted in Lakeville or
Too
whatever.
Bad.
Here is Arcand. He's got some trending on WEEI Football Sunday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
Time for your Cars for Kids storylines. Normally, these would be connected to a game that was to be played, but we know the Patriots beat the Steelers 21-18 on Thursday Night Football. The Sunday storylines are brought to you by Cars for Kids. If you have a vehicle or property to donate today, visit carsforkids.com. I thought the comment that we were referring to from Robert Kraft was very interesting yesterday on the, you know, we like to win and we want to get back to winning around here as quickly as possible. Man, doesn't that scream more veteran quarterback than it does we're going to go draft one of these young guys and sit and wait and hope that we can do something over an extended period of time? I almost get the sense that Mr. Kraft is looking at it as a, we're gonna do something real to try to turn the boat in another direction very quickly.
Yeah, perhaps, but I also look at that and I say that, you know, this team isn't a quarterback away. They're not just a veteran Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, exactly.
Baker, that was Karen on your show this week.
It was, yes.
Baker. Yeah, and
Tannehill's probably the only other one that's coming up.
Ryan Tannehill's not winning you a Super Bowl. He's not going to win you 11 games. Like, you need talent at receiver. You need a bolstered offensive line. You're going to need a tight end this offseason. So, like, it's not just, bring Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill in, and boom, you're going to win 11, 12 games and win a Super Bowl. So if you're going to have to rebuild the entire team, you might as well also bring a quarterback in that you can then develop into your next franchise guy that you thought Mac Jones was going to be.
Well, it's interesting because I think there might be a little bit of a blend of some of the guys that are here and then be selective in the ones that you let go. And I've argued this, Arcan, that if you look at the free agent tight ends that are out there, Hunter Henry is by far at the top of the list.
Yep.
Now, does Hunter Henry look at it and say, there's going to be too much turmoil, let me get the hell out of here? Or are there some people in the building who do value the guy? And whether it's on a 1 or a 2 year deal, likely a 2, or maybe even a little bit longer that you can sort of, you know, work your way through. I wonder if someone like that might return. I don't think they're going to completely punt on, say, both tackles. They might choose to keep one and then draft another one or something like that. I just don't think that the teardown will be, we're going to rip it down to the studs to just replace it with young players. I feel like, Arkan, there's going to have to be a little bit of the blending of some of the guys that are here now, because you can't leave yourself naked at certain positions.
No, you definitely can't. It's not that there's a lot of guys that I would fight and pound the table to keep if you could get a, you know, offer for somebody and it would make sense to pull the trigger, but I just don't think there's a lot of guys like that that you can even point to. Hunter Henry's going to be an interesting case because he hasn't had a great career here in New England by any means. His numbers have gone down. I think he's actually tipped up. They're ticking up a bit this season, but, you know, last year obviously wasn't any good, and He's had a couple of games that weren't good this year. There's some other tight ends on the market, but I think you're right. He's going to be up there with the Schultzes and the Everetts of the world, and I don't think there's going to be some major drop-off. It's just you're not going to be able to say, hey, you know, if you want to win, you stay in New England. If you want to be competitive, if you want to be a part of something, then you stay in New England. He's seen these last 2 years. He wasn't a Bill guy. He was just a guy that came over here in that big free agency spending spree, and I don't think he's been super impressed with the New England Patriots experience. I wouldn't have been if I was him. There was no real competing for any sort of anything beyond that one wild card game, and this season has been one of the worst seasons probably he'll ever have. So it's going to be interesting how these free agents sort of look at the open market and how playing here these last 2 years may have in some cases hurt their value. And if they decide to come back, or if they just decide, you know what, New England's not the place for me, I think you're going to see a lot of that this offseason.
The interesting part with Henry too is he's a captain. And so, you know, he's a leader on the team, and he does have to, he comes on our airwaves every week with you and Fourier, and he has to, you know, he has to take the brunt of, you know, what's going on. And so speaks with us every week down in Foxborough. So like he's a captain, and he leads the team, and his cap hit right now and over the last 3 years has been like $15 million. So wherever he goes, he's going to have to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
So he's still probably going to be top of the market, but he's not going to get what he got last go around. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him back here on obviously a cheaper deal than he's at, but they might still value his, you know, his leadership and the fact that he's been here for the last 3 years.
Well, and that's the thing. It's I'm just looking at a very early sort of free agent list at tight end, and it's Hunter Henry, it's Dalton Schultz, Gerald Everett, fourth on the list, Mike Gesicki.
Oh, God.
Well, and I say that just to kind of sort of reinforce where the market is at right now, minus surprise releases. And look, if somebody, and they're not getting rid of this guy, I'm only using it as an example, but like if Darren Waller came free, he would clearly shoot up to the top of the list, and then somebody could evaluate him. But that's going to be the tricky part of the how do you balance it for next year? Because it's very clear. At least it's seemingly clear to me. The more I hear Robert Kraft talk as we get towards the end of the season, the more he wants to turn it around and win right away. And that doesn't scream, take the number two pick, let's say, and sit on a young quarterback and just let him do the Jordan Love deal of going and sitting for a couple of years or whatever.
Well, why sit a couple of years? Why not start the number two overall pick right away?
Because
you start a Mac right away.
That's not going to win right away.
Yeah, because it's not going to win right away. Like, that's the thing.
Mac won 10 games.
And look at C.J. Stroud.
Well, and Stroud, and look how long it took.
That's true.
I think the bigger thing is, in the mind of Robert Kraft, it took them 3 years to stumble into C.J. Stroud.
Right.
He doesn't want to go through 3 and 6-win seasons and all that. That's why I'm starting to think there could be the veteran in play. There's also the Belichick thing that Pat McAfee was like, well, we know what's going to happen here, sir. However, they're at 2-10. They're playing hard. They're still in these games. I mean, I don't think you can argue very much in terms of the way the defense has played this year. I don't think that Bill has completely lost it. Is there any way Kraft looks at it and says, I got the guy for one more year. Let's ride it out. Go get the – see, there's a thought in my head that I wonder if Mr. Kraft says, you know what, well, we're not going to win with a young guy, and I've still got my coach in waiting. If I've got Bill for one more year, do I try to take a guy like a Kirk Cousins and match him up with a guy who's won it and see if the thing that can get Cousins over the hump is a legendary coach like a Tomlin, a Belichick, or somebody or whatever who might be able to help someone like that close the gap, Arcan?
I don't think that's what Kirk Cousins is meant. Kirk Cousins needs people around him. He needs an offense. He needs something that can sort of help cover up some of his shortcomings, which he has a lot of. He's not great in big games. We know a lot of things about Kirk Cousins at this point. He's been in the league a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the big thing missing with him was that Bill Belichick wasn't his coach. Like, he's been on teams that have had very explosive playmakers on him, and that's when he's been at his best. He comes over to this team. You know, Baker Mayfield comes and QBs this team. I don't really see much difference between the way that, you know, Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi have been QBing. I just don't think there's much there. I know that Schuster had a good game, and, you know, Zappi had a better game than you've seen from most of these guys all season. But once Kendrick Bourne went down, and even then, I mean, Kendrick Bourne's your number one guy. Like, this is what I think's getting lost in the whole Zappi-Jones debate, is the fact that whoever the quarterback is on this team is going to have a real big problem. And that's why I agree with Cadillac, is that you need to start really just doing over over the entire infrastructure of this offense. QBs, fine. I mean, if you want to emphasize that, I know the Patriots don't, but if people want to emphasize that, fine. I mean, you're going to have a very high pick. You're going to have your choice. But I also think that you need a big infusion at wide receiver. You need to redo the offensive line. Tight end's another one. I don't think that's quite as important. I think this team's way too in love with tight ends. I'd rather they went out and got some wide receivers. But that's what I think really need. If you're not going to win next year. I don't think there's any one thing you can do that's going to make this team and this offense a winner next year. You have to start with the steps in the process that it's going to take to get there.
I'm not so sure about that.
Interesting way to look at it in a few ways. Well, one, Kirk Cousins is 35 coming off an Achilles tear.
Right.
So that's going to be tough to, you know, just come in and have him maybe even start week one. But say you do, and you do end up with the third overall pick, and you bring in a Marvin Harrison Jr., right? That's Kirk Cousins' top weapon next season. And that's okay, I think, because he's come in when he was in.
He's a plug and play guy.
He's a plug and play guy. And when Kirk was in Minnesota, when they bring in Stephon Diggs, he turned him into a Pro Bowler. Not turned him into, but he's able to work with these new guys.
He embraces young wide receivers, unlike someone who used to play here, who every once in a while would turn his nose up to one.
Right, and they did it with Justin Jefferson as well. Justin Jefferson's the best wide receiver in football. So if you do that with Marvin Harrison, great. Then you have the 36th pick and you bring in a tackle. And so, I mean, it's being this bad this
you can
season,
retool
you have
quickly.
The retool because you have the top couple picks. And, you know, having the 32nd pick compared to the 35th pick, that's basically a second first-round pick, in my opinion, a top 40 pick, call it. And so you do have the assets. You do have the money this offseason. We were just talking about the salary cap and the break. And so they can retool it quickly. It's just a matter of how they do it because they had some room last year. They brought in some guys like Juju and Gesicki, and it clearly didn't work out. Do you hit on the right guys this offseason? That's what's going to make or break it is if you hit or miss in the general manager department, which is why, before I finish, the McAfee comment, he said to Bill Belichick, you're the greatest head coach of all time, and he looked him in the eyes and goes, you're the greatest general manager of all time. And not that was a shot, but I found it interesting for him to kind of bring up the general manager piece too, because that's what everybody's talking about is Bill the GM is bringing down Bill the coach right now.
Yeah, and the past couple of years, there's been a confluence of things. There's no question. You know, Mac has gone backwards. It looked like that was a great pick, and you know, he was the second best quarterback out of that whole lot, which is, I guess, saying something both positive and negative in a couple different ways. But what McAfee says is really not untrue. And I know people really jumped in on the look at your first round picks. Again, you know, people will look at Mac and say there was the playoff thing there. Some will sort of middle that one, right? People were defined on Cole Strange because it was an offensive lineman, and people don't like taking interior offensive linemen with number one picks. Nobody was complaining about Christian Gonzalez. And if you look at, you know, again, over the course of the 20 years, that's the thing. If you take it in the 3-year window, you can hammer the hell out of Bill and all that stuff. I think where McAfee's looking at it is the 30,000-foot view of this was a guy who held a dynasty together for almost two decades in a salary cap era, which was the biggest reason why some of those, why did the Cowboys dynasty get broken up? Because free agency came in and those guys started to get paid. One of those wide receivers went to Tampa, not Michael Irvin, but the guy opposite of him, whose name I'm blanking on right now. Guy went to Tampa and got like $40 million back then or something like that. And people went nuts over it. So this is really where we're at now, isn't it? Who's in, who's out, who's playing for what, who could be playing up, all that kind of stuff. Because it's
Alvin Harper. Is that who you were thinking
Thank you. Good poll. Yeah, Alvin Harper got big money from, and they were like the pewter bucks, I think, back then as well.
Yeah, 95.
Yeah, that was a girl. Those uniforms have now aged well. But back then, it looked they looked like a bunch of.
Because they were 1 in 15 in them or whatever it was.
Well, there is that.
I'll tell you what, between the Kelly Green, the old Fourier Seahawks, and the creamsicle Bucks, it's been a pretty good year for jerseys this year.
Not bad.
It's been a good year. And I know he doesn't like those Seahawks jerseys, but I love them.
No, he hates them.
I think
they're
terrific.
Yeah, they. I'll tell you, the nostalgia thing is in all the way around, and I think the NFL has been really smart of tapping into it and all that. By the way, it's in terms of jerseys yesterday and uniforms, Army Navy rolled out nice. Yeah. Mm. I really like those Army uniforms. They looked pretty good. Hey, Zeke is back, right? Like, you want to keep Zeke, do you not?
I'd keep Zeke.
Go ahead. Yeah. I was going to say, I keep him. I mean, we talk about this team, you know, not having good signings. I just mentioned it last time, but the Zeke Elliott sign was a great signing. A guy who came in, wasn't not that he wasn't in shape, but he kind of needed some time to get his feet under him, and he was there as a a spell back to Ramondre. Now that he's ready to roll and Mondre's hurt, he looks awesome. Catching the ball out of backfield, I think he had like 7 or 8 catches on Thursday. That was a good signing by them, a good depth signing, and I wouldn't be surprised if you bring him back.
Well, you know what's interesting is, like, even in San Diego with the Chargers today, right? They have 3 running backs up, and they do have Austin Eckler, but I saw one of the NFL insiders say, well, they'll ride the hot hand. Well, wait, you would think that would be Eckler.
Should be, yeah.
It feels like that'll be the market where if you're a smart team, you should be able to find a Zeke Elliott every year because those guys aren't getting paid. Hey, listen, God bless them. They tried like hell. They took their big swing.
The Zoom meeting.
Some of them got a couple of bucks, but at the end of the day, it didn't really work out for this whole running back renaissance. And that should be one of those positions. But look, I'll tell you where I was dead wrong on Zeke. I was more worried about the attitude, Arcan, than I was the player. I thought the player would have been okay once he was healthy. My worry was, is he going to be the guy standing on the sideline, staring at the coach, doing the whole feed me more thing and da-da-da and all that? And instead, the guy has been a model fit here.
Yeah, he has. And he's been, humbled, too, by the whole Tony Pollard experience in Dallas and then not having much of a market in free agency. I mean, I think it all sort of came clear to him that, I'm at that point as a running back, as an older running back in the league here, where I'm going to have to fight for my opportunities. And, him and Stevenson, I didn't think were a particularly effective duo. But when it's just him or when it was just Stevenson, I thought, these guys maybe have a little bit more of that every down back ability than we thought when we all said, great, now these guys can split carries. When they split carries, I feel like they're not as good. But when it was just Elliott out there, I mean, you saw it was as good as he's been all year.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, again, I think great sign. I wonder if they bring him back, though, because you mentioned it, Gresh, the idea of the free agent running back and them not getting the money they want. And now that he signed his 1-year deal and performed well on it, is he going to want to hold out for another 3-year deal with more guarantees? And at that point, I think the Patriots are going to just punt on it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wonder if someone looks at Zeke and is like, oh, that guy can come in and help at a high level.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say because it's an AFC competitor, but it feels like Baltimore is the kind of team that you want a good power runner and a guy who can catch it a little bit. Zeke would be a nice fit down there in the way they want to run the ball and to run it off of Lamar Jackson.
Right. That's what Mark Ingram did when he was there. That was his sort of second coming after New Orleans, so I could see that.
And it got him on the Fox pregame for college football now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got
he's
like
pretty good.
He is. He's not bad, I got to say. And you forget that Mark Ingram won a Heisman.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those, we got to get to Jaden Daniels.
Next Patriots quarterback, Jaden Daniels.
Maybe. but is there trouble in Buffalo? Who would have thought that a head coach would have to come out and apologize for something that he said in a team meeting to a football team where it is supposed to be secure 4 years ago? We'll get to that next on WEEI Football Sunday.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, more of the guys. This is WEEI Football Sunday on WEEI.
Be with us at 11 o'clock. He's got to move up a little bit because he's got to dad it up. We'll catch our guy Tom Curran next week. And let's get to the story out of Buffalo. That is Sean McDermott. So as the story goes, and if I get any of this wrong, please jump in, guys. But basically, Sean McDermott tried to very, very poorly in a meeting in terms of trying to preach or teach togetherness to his football team and coming together to be able to achieve a common goal. Sean McDermott unfortunately used the terrorists of 9/11 in sort of trying to convey that message and get it across to his football team.
As an example of communicating and working as a team.
Good Lord.
And that's not, I'm not exaggerating. Like, that's exactly how he, the context he used
there. And so McDermott did a big apology on Friday, which has got to be a little distracting for him to come back on something that happened in a team meeting in 2019. And it's gotten so bad that even last night on Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, Sean McDermott got zinged. Colin Jost used the line, when Osama bin Laden was giving a terrorist pep talk, he told them not to be like the Bills. I don't think he's going to get fired for this, but Arkham, what do you make of the curious timing of this coming out from the 2019 season?
Couple of things. The main one is that if you may not think he's going to get fired, but I think this is a weather balloon. You know, I think that this was sort of a test to see, all right, if we are going to move on from this guy, you know, let's see how the fan base takes it. And I don't think that there's a lot of fans right now, just with the way the team's performing. They're underperforming this year. They're getting completely passed by the Dolphins. Their players are always upset. You know, McDermott did get a contract extension after he made these comments, which is unbelievable to me if you think about it. Like, I think that very offseason, he got like a 3-year extension or a 4-year extension. So it didn't bother him that much at the time. But the fact that it's coming out now, the fact that it's getting leaked to The Athletic or whoever it was that reported it.
Ty Dunn, I think.
Either way, like that tells me that there's someone out there, Pegula, somebody else, who is teasing the idea of moving on from him. And I think based on the way the team's performing, and listen, if this is the type of stuff he's saying in these team meetings, then it's probably best for everybody to move on from the guy. He's not producing, and he's a freaking weirdo. Of all the football analogies you could make, like think of all the football teams he could have made an analogy about.
Yeah.
Teams in football that communicated well and where acted as
Correct.
A team. Think about all the other American military examples he could have
used. SEAL Team 6 going to kill bin Laden instead he uses the terrorists.
Right, all like, sorts of things. Just, I mean, if that to me just speaks to a guy who doesn't think things through before he says that, you know, like that sort
you know
of thing.
What?
Like, I don't know. I wouldn't be comfortable with
that. And Catholic, I know you're waiting to get in here. This is just dumb football coach.
Yep.
We have, I had one of my coaches say about a player in a film session, blank, you make me want to go home and hit my wife.
Wow.
And that was in a meeting right. where we're just there watching film. I think we underestimate the football coach's ability to overthink. And boy, oh, I got the real creative angle here. And in reality, it's nothing more than just dumb football coach.
Yeah, it's obviously, I can't do it, can't have it. You mentioned the timing and that it's not that it's interesting, but, you know, the Bills are winning. He says this thing in the meeting and nobody really says anything about it, thinks anything of it. Yeah, that was weird. Everyone probably looks at each other like, what the heck was that? And then when the team stinks and a reporter starts digging, they go, oh, yeah, well, this happened then. And then it becomes, you know, a huge story and it should have never happened. And you're right about dumb football coach Crash because, like, you know, it's a guy who you don't just or you shouldn't anyway get ready for a team meeting with a pep talk and just think of it off the top of your head. Normally, these
right.
guys go in and plan what they're going to say. And, you know, it may seem, you know, spontaneous, but he literally probably went in and was sitting in his office and said, ooh, I'm going to mention this, thought about it, rethought about it, and then said, this is a good idea mm-hmm. and this is a good, you know, thing to relate to teamwork. So ridiculous nonsense. Can't have it. I don't know if he'll be fired for this, but again, the fact that they're 6-6 fighting for their playoff lives and this, you know, this, you know, end-all, be-all story about McDermott comes out at the same time, it doesn't look good for his future in Buffalo.
Well, and to tie into Arkham with the whole maybe this was kind of a trial balloon.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that they forced McDermott to fire his offensive coordinator mid-year, but clearly there was enough heat, or McDermott must be feeling enough heat in Buffalo.
They wanted a blood
to
sacrifice,
make that move. Yeah, exactly. And it was that hey, it's your choice. Well, guess what? You're going to be the one to pull him in and cut his head off. And that's exactly, you know, what McDermott did, which is normally an indicator that a head coach is trying to save himself whenever you start shipping assistants out the door. And I don't know, I'm torn on McDermott because I'm not a huge fan, but boy, oh boy, you know, if you're Buffalo and you move on from him, don't you then kind of have to shoot high? Like, I don't think you can get rid of Sean McDermott and then say, here's the offensive coordinator from the team du jour, right?
Or even their own in Joe Brady, who was the quarterback's coach 3 weeks ago.
Don't you feel like you gotta kind of
Get Bill Belichick?
Well, I you know what?
Buffalo Bill Belichick?
I was just going to say, whether it's that, whether it's trying to bust a move on another coach in the NFL, whether it's one of these guys. Now, again,
you wouldn't hire Ron Rivera, right?
No, like, but does Buffalo say, well, you know what? We got a kid at quarterback that can play. Let's go get Gruden or someone like that who is a big name that would energize the fan base.
Another guy who doesn't think before he speaks.
Well, there is that, too. There's no question. Yeah, you know what? Harbaugh. True. See, I wonder if the Pegulas would look at Harbaugh and be like, oh, he wants too much power type thing. But, you know, Terry Pegula's getting older. I think there's like a 28 or 30-year age difference between him and his wife. His wife has been struggling with issues health-wise as well. Their daughter's, like, tearing it up on she's a tennis player. Right.
You think during, like, the round of interviews for the next coach, they're going to have any, like, 9/11 questions?
Oh, my God.
Like, so, if you had to say one thing about 9/11 that impressed you, what would that be?
Oh, man.
Define teamwork.
Hey, somebody said Ken Dorsey leaked it. Would he have been there in 2019? I guess he would have been.
He might have been.
Yeah, that'd be the first thing that I would look for.
Yeah.
Because players have apparently shut up on it.
Interesting.
It's been, 4 years now, and it wasn't like a player ran to the media and was like, wait, do you see what this idiot said today?
Well, you had the best point on this, is that it was something that was said in a team meeting, and as bad as, you know, we all think this is, and as ridiculous and stupid as it was, I bet you every single one of those players and all the other coaches are thinking, man, I hope they don't go back over everything I've ever said in a team meeting, you know? Just, and not that,
that's,
you know,
supposed to be the safe space in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And nope, that stuff gets out somehow. We will talk about this and everything else in the NFL with our friend Christian Fourier, who slides up an hour next to join us on WEEI Football Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.